You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, May 15th, episode 3432.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
That's right. We have some silly horse talk planned for you today. We have Pearl Kersey's going to join us to talk about the women's only ranch bronc school. I kind of feel like every woman has that at some point or another when you're riding. It's involuntary.
You just don't mean to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not doing it purposely. Jamie is going to be challenged by our own Clark, who we had on last week, one of our terrific auditors. Clark Barton's joining us, and we're going to have a little Preakness trivia. If you remember right, Clark was the one that has the micro share of Seize the Gray. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Is there weird news?
Yeah, it took me forever because there's 2 weeks worth I had to go through. Okay. Y'all are awesome.
You did let me know that we have a story or two that we have to wait till the post show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So auditors, you get those special stories. Hey, we did get an answer. Remember Monday we talked about the fact that Boyd Martin was only the second person to ever finish all of the eventing five stars in the world?
Yeah, it was this huge article about how Boyd is the second person ever, and nowhere did it say who the first one was.
Well, of course, our listeners came through. Tim Price was the first one to do it. I also read this article that had some numbers in as a follow-up to the Kentucky Derby. Now, this isn't about horses or anything. It was about the food and drink that was served at the Kentucky Derby this year, and they had almost a record attendance. I think it was like number 255 to 60,000. I don't know. It was a lot. So they served 20,000 pieces of a dessert, 10,000 pounds of smoked brisket, 9,000 pounds of shrimp.
Whoa.
That's a lot of shrimp to get shipped across to Kentucky. 1,000 pounds of cheese, 1,000, now get this, 1,000 pounds of mint for the mint juleps. Mint is not heavy.
What? That's like 17 tractor trailer loads of mint.
24,000 bottles of Old Forester mint julep bourbon cocktail mix. 24 and 20,000 bottles of Woodford Reserve. And now you know why Woodford Reserve is the title sponsor of Kentucky Derby.
Exactly.
You've been to Woodford Reserve. We've both been to Woodford Reserve. I don't know how they make 24,000 bottles there.
I mean, that seems like it's like the year supply, how many they make.
They must have a different place, brewery, distillery, because they ain't doing that at the one we went to. It's like, that's a crazy number, 20,000 bottles. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Anyway, let's do some Daily Whinnies. We have no auditor birthdays today. Amazing. Wow. That very rarely ever happens. So I'm going to give mine to Clark Barton, who's going to join us later in the show. His microshare in his horse, Seize the Gray. He was very
Don't say microshare. Just say he owns the horse. I like that better.
He says microshare, so that's what I said. But Seize the Gray, the horse that we talked about last Wednesday, is going to be in the Preakness.
I'm so excited.
I know. I am too. And it's right beside Mystic Dan in the sixth slot. So
love it.
And there's only 9 horses. Actually, there's 8. One pulled already. Is it Muth or
Moose? Moose. And I'm so sad that Bob Baffert's horse is not going to run in the Derby. It's just heartbreaking.
He spiked a fever of 103 after arriving in Baltimore.
I mean, I'm sorry for the horse. I'm not sorry for Bob.
Yeah. So actually, there will only be 8 horses in the race. That's kind of cool.
I think there's another one in there, though. We're still going to see him on TV.
All right. So good job, Clark. We're very excited for you. And you're giving us somebody to root for here.
I know. I'm so excited. We're What's really cool is I still have a bunch of money in my account, app from the Derby. You have a bunch of
your son's money.
That's true, but it's mine. And he's 15 to 1 right now. Hopefully he goes even higher and we make all the money. My daily winnie, speaking of money, goes to my husband, who is just toxic. Just toxic, Glenn. You know, there's that app, the Sport Horse Auctions, where I have purchased one or four horses before. Sporthorseauctions.com, that website. So there was a horse that was auctioned off in the last one. And we're in Arizona and we're visiting friends. And I always look through all the horses. I pour through them. And they had this imported black Oldenburg stunner. Doing dressage and like, it was like the horse that I tried to breed three times and there he was on the auction. And he, it turns out he had like a chip removed or something. I was like, maybe it'll be a steal. Like maybe that's going to keep people away. So it like, I bet him up to like $3,000. So I was like, oh, if I get this horse for that, I win the lottery, you know? And of course he
Can
went
I ask
higher.
If you were sober at this particular moment?
Yes.
Okay.
And so was my husband.
Oh, see, this site should require a breathalyzer test before you're allowed to build a bid.
I would not have a couple of the horses that I have. Okay. So I'm glad they don't. So I bid and I'm talking with him about it and he's like, go higher. He's like, we could do what? Look at, that's your dream horse. You should totally bid more. We bid more. And so this crazy man has me bid. Okay. Now, remember, like the Andalusian that I got, I spent like $3,000 on. Okay. And I stole him. And like, I think Ace, I paid $1,500 for. So like, I don't spend money on horses because I usually get them broken and just try to fix them. Right. So I get the messed up ones and this horse is going higher. And I was like, oh, we're out. Is it 9,000? Chad's like, seriously? Just bid.
Was he drinking?
I don't know. I think he was like with all his fighter pilot bros.
What's he feeling guilty about?
I'm like, are you cheating on me? What's going on here? So we bid this horse up to $10,000. And at this point, I'm sick to my stomach.
Which would be more than you and I have ever spent on a horse together. I mean,
oh my God. And I know that it's not uncommon to spend that, and lots of people spend that kind of money on horses, but I've never seen this horse. And I was like, you know what? I know he's going to go for way more. I know he's going to go for way more than $10,000. But the cool thing is if the person who, you know, if he doesn't make his reserve, I'm on the list because what happens if they don't make the reserve, they call you afterwards, which is how I ended up with Ace. They call you afterwards and say, hey, the person wants this much, you know, and then I could say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come up and ride him because I can just hop on a plane to go to Baltimore.
Baltimore.
So I'll just hop on a plane. So I'm on the list of people that are bidding. And if he doesn't make his reserves, then I can go up and ride him and try him. And then, you know, obviously not buy him because I can't afford him, but it will at least be an adventure. So I bid him all the way up to $10,000. And I'm like, I am sick. I can do no more. And Chad's like, seriously, you're at 10 grand. That's amazing. This is awesome. And I was like, who are you? So then
did somebody die? Did he just inherit money or?
I don't know. But I bid it up to the, he was like, yeah, it's my money. Like, it's my farm money. I'm like, this is what I have in my account, babe. Like, I can't.
This is all the emergency fund.
So $10,000. And I'm like, oh my God. And then somebody bids 10,001. And I was like, whew! And you know what my husband says to me? He goes, really?
You're a quitter.
Are you going to lose out on your dream horse for $100? And I was like, no! I'm losing missing out on it for $10,100. But he was like, it's $100. Seriously? You're going to miss out on it for $100? I'm like, this is why you can't go to auctions. So he erased the whole 10 in front of it and was like, it's only $100. It's only $100. So that is my husband for you. By the way, the horse ended up going for $18,250. Met the reserve, and nobody's calling me to fly to Baltimore to try the horse.
Well, you know, that makes it a little easier to take when it ends up going a lot higher.
If it went for 10-1, I'd have been pretty upset. Yeah.
This is why I couldn't go to, when we lived in Pennsylvania, we lived on a big farm, and we had 7 garages. That's how big our Allison farm was. And Pennsylvania is known, especially Amish country, for auctions, public auctions at farms every weekend. Well, I filled those 7 garages, let me tell you, with stuff after going to auctions every weekend.
Really? Oh, just stuff?
Just like tools and all kinds of crap. to the point when we sold our house and had an auction, the auction lasted, are you ready, 12 hours.
What?
To get rid of our stuff.
You're that guy.
So I was that guy.
When I take Lucas to school, there's a house on a farm, and behind the house, and you can see it because it's all open, there are at least 60 cars in the back. And you can tell they're all in various disrepair stages. And I always try to think of like how that happened. It's like the guy gets a car and he's like, I'm gonna fix it up. I puts it out back. And then he goes to another auction and sees another car. I can fix that one up. And at no point does he ever fix anything. But he collects cars and he's going to. And I start thinking about how much pressure that puts on you every time you drive down your driveway and you see like 60 cars that you bought but you've never fixed.
I don't think they do, though. I don't think it puts pressure on. Those people have the mentality that they are going to get to it. If you've ever watched American Pickers, that's what you find, right? Is those people that had 800 cars and they all bought cars for parts for the previous car they bought.
You know? Yeah, that's it.
But they don't seem to have that pressure on them. Well, you and I would, because we would just look at it as wasted money. But
yeah. But I mean, I haven't worked Taco Tuesday aside from trying to teach him to fly spray. I haven't sat on him in like 10 days and I'm like stressed about it. I can't imagine if I had 60 Taco Tuesdays that I just kept collecting in my backyard and never rode any of them. You know what I mean? Like I can't imagine the stress, but I just like to play in my head how that happened. And turns out you're that guy.
I was that guy with tools and stuff. Yes, I was. Hey, I wanted to tell you, I haven't had a chance to tell you too, and then we'll get to our first guest. Taco Tuesday's ancestry is done.
What?
And they're going to come on in a couple of weeks and do it on the air with us.
Oh my God, I can't handle the pressure. Like, I need to know. They need to come on right now. Call them.
Nope, they're not seeing it ahead of time. Nope, that's the rule. You have to wait till they come on the air.
Okay, so I wondered what happened because I sent the hair off a while ago.
They did the whole complete panel on all the history stuff.
Oh my God.
Which takes longer than just the basic one. So you got the extra one.
Did they laugh when they saw what he is like? I mean, I don't know.
All I got was a report that it was done and that the nice lady who comes on from Edelon with us is going to do it again. So,
my
looking
God.
Forward to it, actually. She's so knowledgeable, so it'll be fun. Hey, State Line Tack right now, if you go over there, it's fly season, and I'm telling you, it's fly season. And they have everything fly on sale over there at State Line Tack right now. Head on over there for fly sheets and halters and masks and leg wraps, the fly boots, all of that kind of stuff on sale right now at statelinetack.com. And auditors, State Line is providing some products for review with the auditors again, and I put a bunch of them out yesterday. So, auditors, I have picked who's going. I had over 100 emails.
I was like, I want to try that shirt.
I had over 100 emails, so I don't have time to write everybody back. If you didn't hear from me, you didn't win this round. But we will be having more products, thanks to State Line Tack for review, and then we'll have the auditors on to review them on the show. So, statelinetack.com, we can thank them for their continued support. And now we're going to go to Canada, and we're going to talk to Pearl Kersey, who organized a school to teach women how to ride broncs. That's right.
Yeah, bronc on
riding.
Purpose.
On purpose, yeah, intentionally. We'll talk to her why that came about and how much fun was that. Hey, Pearl, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how did you get into bronc riding? Now, we were joking earlier in the show about how most people get into bronc riding is accidentally when their horse, has a fit. But you're actually doing it intentionally.
Yeah, well, I was riding colt full time for work, and then I was just at a rodeo, and a friend of mine was like, hey, you want to get on a ranch bronc? We're doing a ladies thing up north, and we need one more girl. And I was like, okay. And I ended up winning that like 2 years in a row. And then I found out that there was more rodeos down in Texas. And I went down there for a couple summers, and it kind of just snowballed into what it is.
So is female bronc riding a new thing, or has it always been around?
It's fairly new. Like, I think it was 2016 that it kind of got started. And it's just been growing and growing. Like, our association that we run through, they started in 2016 in Texas, and that's where I had gone down to ride for them. And then being from Canada, I brought it back up here because I would just ride at some of the ranch rodeos with the guys. And then now I'm the Canadian director for the association for the Women's Ranch Bronc Championship. And so I brought it up to Canada now. And then we have Australia and Belgium. And then Texas is now pretty much the whole U.S. So now we have a little bit of everywhere, and we have our world finals in Cheyenne now.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was this big. That's very cool. Now, are you riding the same broncs as the men? Is it out of the same pools or what?
No, we'll have like more of like a high school beginner kind of level. And then once things get rolling and girls get better and better, then you can kind of up the horses a little bit. But we're definitely not getting on like those pro rodeo saddle bronc courses or anything. We have a totally different program for ours.
Gotcha. And you just recently did a ranch bronc school. By the way, you live near Calgary, don't you? Which is like one of the prettiest parts of Canada.
Yes. Yes. I can't complain.
No.
Pretty nice here.
It's not.
Especially now it's finally turning green. The snow has stopped.
Yeah. So you did a female ranch bronc school. How did that go?
It went really well. I had put on my first one was last fall. I had put on, and then put on another one this spring. So I'll put another one on in the fall. And then last night we actually just put on another a bucking machine practice. We have access to a bucking machine now, so which is way better to get the girls started on, get their confidence and their timing and everything figured out before they even have to get on the horse.
Well, the nice thing about falling off the bucking machine is that they're not going to step on your face when you hit the ground. So.
Yeah, you just gotta learn to tuck and roll.
Yeah, is that how you start the clinics? Is it with the mechanical?
Yeah. Now that we have it, like that's our first day. We go over all like your safety procedures, your shoot procedures. We go over everybody's gear, make sure everything's proper and safe, and then we do some pickup man procedures. I get them out on a broke horse, we go down the arena, and then they learn how to get off onto the pickup man's horse first and like how to fall and everything. And then we'll go on to the bucking machine in the afternoon. And then the next day we'll do a little bit of bucking machine, and then we'll get them on like two horses each.
How scared are they for that first ride?
They're pretty nervous, but like it's an excited nervous.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's like they just get on the bucking machine if they're not ready for the real horse, and that's fine too.
I think that this is just probably a really good clinic for anybody, even if you don't want to ride bucking horses and you just ride horses, like learning how to tuck and roll and how to get onto another horse from a horse maybe having trouble. Like, all of this seems very sensible.
Yeah. Like my last clinic, I had a gal, she did everything but get on a bucking horse. She's like, because she's like, I don't think I can do that, but she's like, I just want to know everything else. So she's like, just to do it kind of thing. So
everybody everybody rides a bucking horse at some point or another if you've ridden long enough. So it's like,
yeah, that's the thing. If you're riding horses, if it's not like some like kid's horse, you're probably going to need to know something.
Do you think how much of this, okay, so when you become half decent like you are, okay, when you become better at this, how much of it is learned and how much of it is innate talent? For, you know, having that balance and everything, would you say it's all learned, or would you say it's 50-50 for the really good riders?
Well, the biggest thing, like, you could not even know anything about horses, but if you have a really good mental game, you will do better than someone who knows horses and doesn't have a good mental game. And that's the tricky part of it.
And what makes a good mental game?
You need the confidence. You need to have that confidence. You can't be hesitating. Because if you're going into it going like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, and you're gonna, like, you're looking at the ground or the fence, like, that's where you're going to go every single time. So if you just, like, picture that you're going to do your perfect ride, and that's what you're thinking about when you get on your horse, then that's usually what's going to happen, or you'll have a better chance of that happening.
Is looking at the ground the biggest mistake newbies make?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fence. If the horse is coming up the fence, they'll turn, but a lot of people look at the fence. Because a lot of people will say, too, don't look at the fence. But then what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the fence. So I always say, look at your horse. Follow your horse.
I always tell people when I'm teaching lessons, I'm like, if you look down, you will be down. You know, you're going to end up going
where you look. It's like driving. If the girls that ride colts a lot or ride horses like full time, they do a lot better because their body is already used to all the movements and they have the better balance and everything. So if you're not riding horses full time in general, like, you do have to work harder, go to the gym and like kind of figure out a little routine to kind of get yourself up to par.
Is strength a factor in this? The stronger you are, the better it is or not?
Yeah, strength is definitely good. Like, you can, because like for me, there's been times where, like, I should have been bucked off, but I have good arm strength and upper body strength, so I was able to just pull myself back over kind of thing. Like, if I didn't have that, I would have been off and no problem.
Have you heard from any students I know you did one a while back. Have you heard from any students who said, hey, thanks to that, I was able to ride that buck, you know, from their normal horses?
Yeah, no, I had a lot of girls that were pretty happy about it. And even I had like 3 or 4 that had came back to do the spring clinic as well.
Jamie teaches off the track thoroughbreds. She works with them.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like you do this every day, actually.
I try not to, Glenn. I try to get them to, but they're not going to buck when they get on. So that's,
yeah.
We try to keep ahead of that one.
Yeah, that's like me. I'm like, when I'm riding just like regular colts or horses, like, I do not want them to buck because, like, that's the opposite of what you want to do. And you're not ready for it usually when they do. That's when they get you.
I feel like sometimes when you're doing the colts and stuff, if you've gotten them to the point that they're bucking, you have skipped some steps.
Yeah, you need to go back to your foundation.
Yeah.
So now, is it all experience levels, or do you usually get the people who are more experienced?
No, we've gotten girls that have no experience to, they have plenty of experience. So it's a big window, but everybody kind of helps each other. It's a really good group of gals. And once some gals have been to a couple of rodeos and they know the program, then they'll see the new girl and they'll go help her get saddled and ready and everything. Because you're usually pretty nervous for your first couple rodeos until you kind of get in the groove.
We're going to see you guys eventually here. You guys are going to be in December in Las Vegas joining the boys on national TV.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I feel like I'd rather watch you guys do it than them. So
heck yeah, me too. Yeah.
It is a big crowd pleaser, that's for sure. That's why it's helping grow our sport. It's been good.
Well, that's terrific. Now, are you the only one doing a school, or are there other schools now popping up around the country?
No, there's some down in the States and over in Australia, but through our association, we put on a couple. I know theirs are usually in like North Dakota. They put a bunch of schools on up there, and they're pretty good. They're pretty big in the States.
Well, that's practically Canada anyway, right? So.
Yep. But yeah.
Where can people learn more?
They
Where
travel.
Do they go to find out, to see pictures and learn more?
Yeah, well, we have a website, Women's French Bronc Championships.com. And then we're on social media, same names, so Instagram, Facebook. I think Instagram is Women's Ranch Bronc Champs. And then Facebook is the full name. And I'm on Facebook, Pearl Kersey.
All right, and I'll put all those links in our show notes as well. Thanks for joining us. We knew nothing about this, so I'm excited that we were able to share it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Well, now it's time to talk about the Preakness. I'm not going to be here on Friday, so we have to come up with our picks there, Jamie. And I thought it'd be fun today to talk a little bit about the Preakness. And I've put a Preakness trivia together, but I know you don't know much about the Preakness because you're like, Preakness trivia, I can't do that. So I got Clark Barton to help you, who was on last Wednesday talking about his ownership in Seize the Gray and how all that works. Hey, Clark.
Hey, how are you?
All right. Do you know about the Preakness? Because you need to help her out here.
I've got a horse in the Preakness, so yes.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about that. Seize the Gray is going to be in the Preakness, and
woo-hoo!
You're down to 8 horses. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah. Muth or
Muth is out.
Is out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. The apparently spiked a fever of 103 after getting to Baltimore, and they pulled him.
Oh, my gosh.
That was just announced.
Okay.
I knew that would make your day.
it does, because that was, you know, the morning line favorite right there. I mean, there's still some big horses in there that are ahead of us. So, yeah.
We'll go through the horses, too, to do our picks. But I will say that you got the 6th slot with Seeks the Gray, and Mystic Dan got the 5th slot. So you're right beside each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully... You know, we can rate him down the backstretch. And
better, Seize the Gray can just bite him. Just bite him. You're right next to him. Just bite him.
Yep, just bite him.
I think Seize the Gray has a chance here.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And, you know, they're talking about rain, and he runs great on a sloppy track. So there you go.
Know. For all you bettors out there.
Because he's gray. He's gray. He likes mud. That's how it goes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you guys are going to play together. Here we go. Some of these are multiple choice, some are not. Which was first, the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness?
The Kentucky Derby. That's what I would go with.
Your final answer?
No. I think it's the Preakness.
Oh, we're playing against each other, Glenn. Let's just go for it.
You're going to play against each other?
We're going to play against each other because I think it's the Derby.
You should have gone the other way because Clark is correct.
Never mind. We're playing together.
The Preakness started in 1873, 2 years before the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's negligible.
And the race was named after a colt named Preakness who had won the first dinner party stakes at Pimlico in 1870.
Oh, my gosh.
And the word is from the Native American, meaning quail woods. Yeah, that's random, huh?
I think Preakness sounds better than it comes Seize the Gray winning the quail woods race.
7 starters participated, kind of like this year. And John Chamberlain's 3-year-old colt Survivor emerged victorious by galloping home easily, winning by an impressive margin of 10 lengths. So now this is important because that margin of 10 lengths remained unmatched until 2004 when what horse won by 12 lengths in 2004? And everybody knows this horse's name. I'll give you a clue.
2004? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like that's before American. I'm going to go with American Pharoah.
Okay, Clark.
Smarty Jones.
Ding, 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 ding.
2004. I was thinking 14, but I think American Pharoah was 15. God, I'm so old.
Clark is correct. You nailed that one. You nailed
2004
that.
Seems like last year to me.
It does. I mean, the millennium. We just changed the clocks in 2000. It was just yesterday.
Oh, God.
What was, this is multiple choice. What was the first purse of the first Preakness Stakes? Was it $2,000, $5,500, or $25,500?
B.
$5,500 is Jamie's answer.
What was the first?
$2,000, $5,500, or $25,500?
Yeah, the first one.
$2,000 is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Ah, I'm getting hammered here.
You're the one that chose this course.
Clark, thank you so much for helping our team.
Clark is 3-0 here.
I'm going for an offer. Here we go.
This is easy. This is easy. And you can both have the same answer and both get it right. What is the Preakness Stakes distance exactly in furlongs?
In furlongs?
Yes.
Well, it's 1 mile and 1/16. Do the math. I don't know.
Clark?
9.5.
You were correct, and Jamie is wrong because it's 1 3/16.
I'm going home. Wait, I am home. Crap.
Which horse holds the record for the fastest Preakness Stakes time at the current distance?
Used to Secretariat.
Clark? Yeah.
Secretariat.
Ding, ding, ding. You both got that one.
I win. I said it first. Give me some.
Jamie gets one. And it was 1:53, by the way, was the time. That's really fast to go a mile and 3/16. What jockey holds the record? This is multiple choice. What jockey holds the record for the most Preakness Stakes wins? Eddie Arcaro, Pat Day, or Victor Espinoza?
I mean, Eddie Arcaro holds like all the records for all the things, it seems. But Pat Day did have a good run in the 80s. I'm going to go with Arcaro.
Arcaro.
You're both correct, Arcaro. And in
Yay!
You are right. He holds most of the records. I think there were,
I feel like it's not fair that Clark gets to say what I say, because clearly he's just stealing my answers because he knows I'm right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm holding back to see what you're answering.
That sounds about right, Clark. Yeah.
Eddie was in the 40s and 50s. All of his were in the 1940s and 1950s. What letter, this is one that we'll see if Clark gets this one. What letter has the most Preakness winners' names started with? So their name starts with this letter. What was the biggest letter, the most winners started with this letter?
Do you want to know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. Yeah, take a guess.
I mean, because he's just going to copy me.
I'm waiting for you, Jamie. Come on.
I would say the letter S.
S as in Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Clark?
Yeah, S as in Sam.
You are both incorrect.
He's cheating.
It is B. B is the 16 winning horses with the name beginning with B. And
Barbaro. Give me some of them.
Yeah. I did. I don't have that. Big Brown. Big Brown was one of them.
Big Brown, Barbaro.
C was up there. S was number three.
Baker's Dozen. I love that horse. That's me.
How many Bruce. Fillies have won the Preakness Stakes since it began?
Oh, good question. I think it's, well, I mean.
You want Clark to go first and you can steal his answer?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's two. But.
Five.
What's your answer? Your answer is five. What about you, Jamie?
Well, I can't say five. I'm going to go with three.
You should have went with Clark.
Dang it.
It is Clark, five.
It's almost like he has a horse
Are
running
you Googling
in it.
This, Clark?
Like,
Are
learn
you Googling
it.
Here?
It's almost like I've got a horse racing. Yeah.
All right. So this was an interesting one that I didn't know and I was surprised at. No horse has sent off with greater odds than. So no horse has actually won the race with greater odds than this. So 23-1, 42-1, or 55-1?
23.
Yeah, 23.
You're both right. 23-1. Aren't you shocked? Because the Kentucky Derby's had so many long shots, but it's a bigger race, too.
It's also a smaller field, so the odds are usually tighter.
Yeah. This one, if you both don't get it, you're both fired and you're gone. What color horse has been the most to win the Preakness?
I'm going to go with Chestnut.
Bay.
Jamie.
How am I supposed to know? It's 150 of these things, Glenn.
It is Bay. Over 60% have been Bay.
Chestnut. Why am I fired?
Chestnut is number two. Because aren't all thoroughbreds Bay? Or, you know, most of them?
No, they're chestnuts and bays and some grays and an occasional black one.
How many gray? I wonder what percentage are gray. Do you know that, Clark?
No, I don't. Clark. Probably. I mean, you look at out of the course of a day of running, you might see two or three out of, 10, 15 races.
That's true. And I do think that what's really cool is Tappet became such a prolific sire, and it's, I swear, like all his grandchildren are gray. That is like the most dominant gene that he had. It's amazing. And it's like, it's awesome. Like, he's made so many more grays. So pretty much if you see a gray racehorse these days, it's related to Tappet.
All right, I have a couple more.
That's my opinion. Anyway, shut up.
What post position has won the most Preakness Stakes?
Oh, that's easy. I know this one.
Well, then say it, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Seize the Grays, number six.
Jamie?
I'm going to go with the two hole, okay?
You'd be wrong. It is Seize the Grays, number six. That is correct. Which they've probably been talking about endlessly in the owner's forum, right?
We have. We have. If you could put a microscope on it, it's shown up in the thread. Yeah.
I bet it has. What is the trophy called for the Preakness? Everybody, you know, knows about the roses, right? But what's the trophy called for the Preakness?
Well, there's the Black-Eyed Susans is the flower.
Yeah, this is the actual trophy.
The Preakness Cup. I mean, duh.
It's related to the Stanley Cup. Kind of looks the same. No.
Yeah, it's the Woodlawn Vase.
That is correct. It's the Woodlawn Vase. It was created by Tiffany & Company in 1860. And now your next question is, it has recently been valued. What do you think the value is of the Woodlawn Vase?
Ooh.
I'll give you a clue.
I feel like Clark has an unfair advantage for all of these.
I'll give you a clue. Oh. It is the most valuable trophy in sports.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I would say it's valued at $4,362,091.
Okay.
Is this a who gets closer?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
No, it's okay. The last thing I read was a million.
And you were correct.
Shut up, Glenn.
which I would think that a Tiffany silver
goblet
that trophy that old is more than $1 million.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought too, but that's the latest appraisal apparently.
Do you think it would maybe be $4,367,091, Clark? Is that what you think? Because that's what I think.
I was thinking it would be closer to that than the million, for sure.
How long does the Preakness winner get to keep the Woodlawn Vase?
A year, isn't it? Well, I mean, I guess almost a year.
They get to hold it for the photographs.
And Clark is correct again.
Shut up.
They get to hold it for the photographs. They do not get to keep it. And I'll tell you why. So the winners did get to keep the trophy in the early days. And then in 1953, when Native Dancer won, his owner, the Vanderbilt wife, didn't want the responsibility of keeping the trophy. So she gave it back, and what they started doing at that point was making a sterling replica of the vase, and that's what the winners get now is the sterling replica. And
well, that makes a lot more sense. I'll just tell you that in my experience, when I won the Area 10 championships and I got a perpetual cup, I got to keep mine for a year.
Did you give it back?
I had to. But my name is on it.
I got to
tell
you.
Nice.
When you get to see what they do with the Stanley Cup and what kind of torture that thing's been through, I think this is a better plan right here.
Yeah. They're drinking beer out of it, doing all sorts of things to it. Yeah. It's probably a good idea.
All right. Now, this is the very most difficult and last question. What two alcohols are in the Black Eyed Susan? It's the official drink of the Preakness Stakes. And I will have you know, Jamie, I spent a half an hour looking for the Kegasus song this morning. I apparently have deleted it, so I didn't have it. You'll be very disappointed to know I don't have it for you.
I totally forgot about Kegasus. I'm glad you don't have it. So I would say, I know, is it champagne and something else? Come on, Clark. Go ahead, Clark. Just say it, Clark.
Whiskey and vodka?
Well, you're almost right. I couldn't give you credit because the snobs would be mad at you. It is vodka bourbon. Is correct, but it's bourbon.
Yeah.
And I realize bourbon's a whiskey, but the whiskey drinkers are very picky about that.
Yeah.
So neither one of you got that correct.
Clark lost one. Okay.
if you do want to make it at home, it's 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of, it says Maker's Mark bourbon, but you know what? Use whatever bourbon you want. 2 ounces of orange juice, 2 ounces of sour mix, and garnish with an orange. And this is my kind of drink right here, better than that mint thing that they do in Kentucky. I'd like fruity.
So 1.5 of vodka, 1 ounce of
bourbon,
Maker's Mark.
Okay. 2 ounces of orange juice, some sour mix, a couple ounces of sour mix, and then just your garnish. It's a fruity drink. No wonder I like it.
It sounds delicious.
I will
celebrate Caesar Gray's victory on Saturday.
We have a clear winner. Jamie obviously was the clear winner today.
Yay, yep. Me!
Well, congratulations.
I told you ahead of time I didn't know anything about it. So,
Clark, you won $40 for the last race. Imagine you'll probably win $60 if Caesar Gray wins the Preakness.
Yeah. Well, and there was a holdback on that. If we weren't running the Preakness, we would have, I think we would have had another $10. But, you know, there's holdback for the entry fee.
Well, so. I will tell you that the auditors and listeners are very excited to all buy into the same horse so that we can follow it here on the show. So Clark is going to do his research and going to get back to me. And when we have one that we think is a likely candidate.
I'm telling you, it's ready. It's ready. It's time. We need to all invest in Caldera. He is $81 to like own a microshare of him.
Okay. Seeing who won today's trivia, I'm going to let Clark come back with his opinion on this.
But it's Dwayne Lucas horse.
Yeah, that's
just like he's the gray.
See, I was leaning toward that too.
Where
I wanted Jamie's input.
Is it gray?
So there's
yes, and he's gray and he's pretty, gray. And yep. He would make it look so good in my barn when he's done.
I knew that was coming. He's pretty.
Okay.
All right. Well, we might have to do this. Is it still open? Is it? What, how long is it open for?
Let's see.
It's still
here.
Open until I close it. Yeah. So
by now, I mean, I'm doing it now.
Is there a cutoff time, Clark? How does that work?
It when it's sold out.
All right, and how much is
when
the
buy-in
on
the
this
shares?
One?
$81.
$81. All right,
$81.
Clark, can you please post in the auditor room a link to this particular one and tell them that that the three of us have agreed. And can you also put a disclaimer in there that if the horse gets lame and doesn't ever runs a race, we're not responsible.
Yeah.
For the loss of their $81.
Yeah.
And this is Lucas's money, right? So he's really the owner.
Shut up, Glenn.
All right, post in the auto room. I'm going to buy a share too. I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's do it. What's the name? How do you spell this horse's name?
Well, you've got it in front of you, Jamie.
Caldera. Yeah. There's only two available, so this is the one, and the other is a package of four horses, which would be awesome, but we're just going to stick with the pretty gray.
We need to throw it all, our $81 on one horse.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Because that four-horse one's $225. So.
Oh, that's way too much. All right.
Yeah.
We can all afford $81.
We will have more than $81 worth of fun with this horse.
Yeah, we will.
It's true. And I've done a lot stupider stuff with $81. So
I think I spent that on dinner last night. So we're good. All right, Clark, we're appointing you the president of the Horses in the Morning Owners Club. Okay.
Okay.
So you're in charge of keeping us informed and stuff. We should create our own Facebook page because there are a certain group of our auditors that don't like horse racing. So we'll create our own Facebook. I can do that part. I'll create the page.
Okay.
But you're the president. Okay. We elect you. Jamie and I are the two voting members at this point. So so all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. It's seconded. Aye. You're in. All right. President.
Oh, congratulations, President Clark. This is awesome.
Is that a train whistle I hear?
Thanks, Clark. Appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I have my winners because I'm not going to be here on Friday. Okay. I don't know if you have yours picked, but let's go down through the names again. Mugatu. Uncle Heavy.
That's awesome name.
I kind of like that one. Catching Freedom. Mystic Dan, Seize the Gray, Just Steal, Tuscan Gold, and Imagination. So I usually
did. You say Toucan Gold?
I thought it said Toucan for a minute there. Tuscan Gold.
Toucan Gold.
That's a good name, though. So I partly picked my name and partly picked because I want Seize the Gray to win. So Seize the Gray, Mystic Dan, and Catching Freedom. That's my three.
Well, I mean, I want him to win too. Like, I am so pulling for him and I'm going to bet on him. But I feel like if I, what tends to happen is I pick the winner and then they come in second. So I'm going to pick him to come in second so okay. he wins. Like, just so, clearly it. Understand that I know that he's going to win. But I'm going to go with Mystic Dan.
To win. Okay.
To win. Sees the grade second, so it'll reverse. See what I'm doing there?
You got
gotcha. You. Yep, picking up, button, but no, no, okay. And then I want, you know what? The hell, Toucan Gold.
All right, go, Toucan Gold it is. Oh my God, it's time for some weird news. After this, we have to hear from our friends at Daily Dose, and we're going to come back with a dose of weird news.
I'm here with the mad scientist who developed Daily Dose equine horse feeds, Janet Geyer, and I wanted to have a quick chat with you because Daily Dose equine horse feed are non-GMO whole food nutrition based. And a lot of people go, oh, that comes from a small, dedicated feed mill. I won't be able to get that when I travel. They're wrong, aren't they?
They are. You can get it through Chewy anywhere in the United States. Or if you live locally in Maryland and Northern Virginia, you can get it delivered.
There you go. Chewy.com. It will deliver it anywhere you want. You can also schedule delivery in advance so you can have it delivered every X number of days, and you can go in there to your account and change it every time you move horse show venues. So check it out today, dailydoseequine.com online or chewy.com.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let US Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join US Rider today.
To learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's time for the weird news. And these are stories that you guys submitted to me, because if you're sitting down and you're reading some news and you're like, that is super weird, email it to me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com with weird news in the subject line. And I will hopefully get it on the show. I had so many submissions because there was 2 weeks worth. So I would like to thank Julie, Jennifer, Valerie, Danielle, Ursina, Laureen, Cheryl, Amanda, Katie, Delia, Rosemary, Molly, Jolynn, Lisa, Michelle, and Ellen. Thanks, guys.
No lack of weird news in the world, apparently.
And many of those people sent me multiple stories, which is fantastic. Now, I don't tell you who sent me which story, because sometimes they get a little inappropriate, like the one that's going to happen in the post show. So, you know what? I just keep it anonymous. Those people sent me these stories. Okay, so the first one is, I'm sure you've heard about this because this went like crazy viral. A woman was living in an odd place. Okay, so in Michigan, there's a grocery store called Family Fair, and it looks just like a regular mini mall type grocery store, you know, but the sign of Family Fair is like a apex triangle. Like, it's a normal flat roof and there's an apex triangle with the sign Family Fair. Okay. So, contractors were doing some work around there and they're like, that's weird. Why is there an extension cord running into the Family Fair sign on the roof? So they follow the extension cord all along the way. And yeah, there's a house in there. Somebody has been living in the sign of the Family Fair grocery store for over a year. This 34-year-old woman was living inside
How
the
long?
Sign.
In a sign?
For a year.
Wow.
A year, and the space is, I'll come up with it. It's triangle shaped. So at the top of the building, it measures 5 feet tall, and it's about 8 feet. Like, it has a door that's accessible from the roof. It's like 5 by 8, basically, is what this person has been living in with a triangle as the roof. So it, not a whole lot of space, but she made it happen. She actually had a computer. She had a printer. She had a coffee maker. No bathroom. I don't know anything about that, but whatever. She lived up on this roof. No idea how she got up and down and how nobody noticed her living in the sign for over a year.
Yeah, somebody'd have to see her coming in and out, right?
You would think, but yeah, not much. So she was asked to leave, and no charges were pressed, even though she's been stealing their electricity for like a year. But whatever, they didn't care. They just let her go.
Jeez.
This one is funnier with the picture, but I'm going to tell the story anyway, because it's just Seaside, California. Okay, there's a man who has a boat. And he lives in the neighborhood, and he's got the boat parked in his side driveway. So the driveway kind of runs up the right side of his house and goes all the way back. So what he does is he goes to Seaside, and he goes in the sea, and then he takes the boat. And then when he comes home, he backs it in down his driveway. Well, unfortunately, the city was like, hi, you can't keep your boat in view. You have to build a fence. So he's got to put his, it's just like HOA stuff. He's got to put his a fence in front of his boat so nobody can see his boat. So what does he do? He builds a fence, and then he paints a mural of the boat on the fence. And it looks exactly perfect. I mean, it's not it has the driveway, it has the brick on the side, it has the bushes on the other side, and the boat on the trailer and everything. I've got to figure out a way to put this picture online because it's hilarious. This guy, he says, I'm not a rule breaker, but I like to make a political statement as necessary. He hired like a professional mural painter who does like public art in spaces, apparently. And this guy's kind of famous. Other Seaside residents have already asked for him to create murals on their boat fences. So it's taking off. It's amazingly accurate. They've got the boat parked. Like, there's metal that like the canopy that goes over the top of the boat. That's visible through the fence. And that is, it looks like it just is part of the fence. It's amazing. So I'll figure out a way to send you this picture. All right. But Glenn, I'll send you the link and you can figure out a way to post it.
All right. Sounds good.
Now, the next one. There's video for this one, but I don't think I want to share it. There's a lot of photographs of a not so young man. He's probably, I don't know, looks like he could be in his 40s. He's real good shape. Real good shape. This is in Burlington, Vermont. And the weather is getting warmer. And, you know, downtown Burlington is like a kind of a cool place to go. So this guy walks around the city all the time. He has been seen walking down St. Paul Street, Church Street Marketplace, down by the waterfront. He is from Swanton, Vermont. And he doesn't understand why he's getting all the attention that he's getting. Well, it's because he's completely naked.
He didn't notice that?
he walks around naked. He's very fit. I mean, you know, whatever. But he says that it's completely legal. Do you know in Burlington, Vermont, you can be naked? You're not allowed to get naked in public. You're allowed to be naked in public. So he has to leave his house without his clothes on.
What's the difference?
I don't know, but you're also not allowed to harass anybody. And he says he's not bothering anybody. He's just walking around. And somebody was like, there are children around. And he says that he doesn't think that it's any big deal. I don't think, he says, personally, I don't think if a child saw me in passing, I don't think it would cause any damage or trauma to that child. Yes, it would.
So they're,
you know,
they can't
traumatize
do anything,
the mama. No, they can't do anything. Anything about this guy just walks around naked. And here's his quote. His name is Joseph. I'm kind of reinventing my life, if you will, to create the masterpiece, which is the rest of my life vision. So I'm thinking, what are my top three priorities? If I could dream of any kind of life that I want, yes, going nude in public was one of my top three dreams. So yeah. His display is technically not against the law. Again, it's legal to be naked as long as you don't disrobe in public.
Because then that's the like stripping. You know, that's provocative, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
They do have an ordinance that he can't go around naked in the city parks. But if they do, it's going to cost him $50.
What state was this again?
Vermont.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That kind of makes sense, actually.
This was in the same vein, really, as the last one. But this is how we can all participate, Glenn. And I really think, you know, the Horse Lovers Cruise is kind of a big thing that you are a proponent of. You know, you always take everybody on the cruises. And I think that it's supposed to set sail from Florida next year. It's an 11-day adventure to the Caribbean. Okay. It's on the Norwegian Pearl. Do you know what ship that is?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't either. Yeah. I would be impressed if you do. And also curious why you know it, because this 11-day adventure is set up by the, not the Horse Radio Network, by the Bare Necessities Tour and Travel website.
Oh, they do these every year, don't they?
This is Bare Necessities' newest nude cruise. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This cruise is nude.
You think so? The way the crew works on these ships is they get 6 months contracts usually. So they'll be on the ship for 6 months. Do you think they give them an out for that week or 11 days if they don't want to work on the nude cruise?
Well, I mean, I don't know why, because according to the website, there are two opportunities to enjoy a new slice of paradise. They're going to stop at several of the Eastern Caribbean island stops, making this a can't-miss big nude boat experience.
I remember reading the article and them saying that they're not the one place times you're not allowed to be nude or when you're docked in port beside another ship. you're not allowed to be nude on your balcony then. And then also, you can't go nude into port, apparently. Is that
okay? Sounds like you've read up on this and you know a lot more than I do. I'm a little concerned.
Well, I have had requests to make this the next Horse Lovers Cruise. So
there you go.
There we are. Nobody wants to see me nude, so somebody else is going to have to run it. Clark.
Nope.
Clark's the president. We can get Clark to do it.
Knowing Clark, he'd probably be all about it.
Is that the last one?
No, I got one more. It's real quick. All right. Because this made me cackle, and maybe it's not that funny to you, but this is from a Facebook page, the Monroe County Reporters, sponsored by Lucy's Frozen Custard. This is the Facebook page. Bedford Fire, this is the Facebook post, and there's a picture of the Bedford Fire and Rescue logo. Okay. This looks like it's in Michigan because there seems to be a Michigan state thing in the middle of the thing. Anyway, Bedford Fire and MCA are responding to the Indian Creek Zoo on Concierge for an 18-year-old male who was bitten by a camel. That's their Facebook post. Some guy was bitten by a camel. That's not the funny part.
Okay.
The funny part is the comments. The comment, first comment. Mike, do you know what day it is? Do you know what day it is? Then I'm going to scroll down for the other one that made me cry. Oh my God. Okay, here. This Mitch posted, he could have topped it off by throwing up on him. Them camels don't play around. Lots of people are putting things that are very concerned. We're very worried. I hope you're okay. You know, people are like, that place is dangerous. And then Tom Tom's comment is, I'm sorry, you can cut all this out. I can't see.
You haven't laughed this hard in months.
I'm a little hysterical. It says, I've never gotten bit by a camel. But I did have one.
You can't get through it.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I'm acting. I've never gotten bit by a camel, but I did have one smash me with its toe.
I don't know why you found that so funny.
There's other people that know why that's funny. I never got bit by a camel, but I did have one smash me with its toe. I need a break.
All right, everybody. That's it for today. We'll be back with Equine Affair tomorrow, and then Debbie and Jamie will be here on Friday as I'm off playing in Lexington with the other journalists out there. So you go. Have a good rest of the week.
Hold on, I have to tell you about the inappropriate one.
No, that's coming up in the post show. Yes, if Jamie can make it to the post show, that's coming up in the post show.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show.
Oh, that's the post show closer. Wrong one. Let's see this one.
Oh, God. Spay, neuter, geld. I almost forgot.